Tayo po ay nagpapatuloy sa ating sermon series on the book of Genesis, the story of beginnings. Napag-aralan natin from the previous studies that God, out of nothing, spoke the world to existence and miraculously created a perfect paradise and populated it with a wide array of living creatures in day six. On the sixth day, he created man after his own image and his own likeness, and has given man everything that he ever needed. Man has a perfect home. He has access to all of the scrumptious meal or food in the garden. He is married to a perfect wife. He has perfect fellowship with the perfect God. So everything was perfect. Until we have learned last week, sa chapter 3, na hindi na siya naging perfect because sin entered. We have seen the tempter, Satan, who was cunning and evil. He tempted and seduced the woman and eventually Adam to sin. We have witnessed that they had deliberately chose to transgress against God, and so they become corrupted and sinful. Tonight, we will see how they are terminated from the perfect paradise as a consequence ng kanilang sin. So my prayer tonight as we look into this passage is that we would see the destructive consequences of sin and the mercy of God, which is greater despite all of this. The mercy of God reverses all consequences and effects of Adam's sin. The mercy of God reverses all consequences and effects of Adam's sin. We have divided itong passage na to into three headings. Number one, the confrontation, verses 8 to 13. The consequences, verses 14 to 19. And number three, the cure, verses 20 hanggang 24. Number one, let's talk about the first confrontation na nangyari. Ang Garden of Eden was once a perfect paradise where Adam and his wife enjoyed the perfection of creation. A perfect marriage enjoyed sweet fellowship with the perfect God. Kagaya na mention ko kanina, nagbago po ang lahat ng mga ito because sin entered. The garden of delight has now become the garden of dismay. Naging lugar na ito ng taguan. Taguan ng mga kriminal. Taguan ng mga rebelde. It was transformed into a courtroom where Adam and his wife were to be judged. Tingnan niyo po yung verse 8 to 9. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" Now, hintubo muna tayo dyan. Napakahalaga po ng part po na ito. Napakahalaga po na maintindihan po natin. Dahil totoo po ito sa atin pa rin ngayon at lalong totoong totoo sa Diyos natin ang pangyayaring ito. Nung nagkasala si Adan at ang kanyang asawa, they did not seek after God. They did not run to Him. As a matter of fact, they ran away from Him. They did not seek Him. They do not want Him. Nung nagkasala si Adan at ang kanyang asawa, they don't want to see or to be in the presence of God. Hindi po ba totoo, Pastor, na sila po ay tama lang ang reaksyon dahil sila nagkasala? Yes, tama po. Yan yung innate reaction kapag tayo po ay nagkakasala. We hide. Hindi po ba totoo din sa atin ito? Kapag tayo po ay nakagawa ng pagkakamali, pag tayo nakagawa ng isang kasalanan, mabigat man to o maliit, agad-agad po tayong tumatakbo, hindi papunta sa Panginoon, kung hindi papalayo sa Panginoon, we try to run away and hide our sins. Pilit natin tinatago sa ibang tao, spirit natin tinatago, lalong-lalo na sa Diyos. Tinuturo din po ni Paul ito sa Romans chapter 3 as he quotes Psalm 14 verse 53 and 53. Romans 3, sabi ho dyan sa verse 10, no one is righteous, no not one, no one understands, no one seeks for God. All have turned aside, together they become worthless. No one does good, no, not even one. Friends, it is clear sa passage po na ito, sa ating rebellious hearts, we don't seek after God. God is the one who does the seeking. Pwede na niyang tapusin ang sangkatauhan dito dahil sa kanyang karebeldehan. Because He is holy and He is just, He has the right to do that. At kahit gawin po niya yun, banal pa rin siya. Tama pa rin siya. He is still righteous. But to see that He even walked in the garden, conversed with man, asked him a question, is nothing more but God's mercy displayed. Dapat ang trato niya sa tao nito, kamatayan kaagad. Pero hindi niya ginawa yun. When Jesus was invited by Zacchaeus over a meal, and Zacchaeus, hearing God's word, has been converted, ito ang sinabi ng Panginoon sa Luke chapter 19, verse 10. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Friends, it is God ang mismong nagsisik, hindi po tayo. Pero Pastor, paano yung mga hindi mananampalataya akong kaibigan na kung saan ang sinasabi nila that they are seeking God? Pero parang taliwas naman sa kanilang pamumuhay. Pero sinasabi nila na pupunta sila from one church after another, one religion after another, one religious persuasion after another. Pero they say they are seekers. Di ba kaya nga yun ang dahilan kung bakit maraming mga seeker-sensitive churches na kung saan they try to cater to those non-Christians na kung saan they're trying to seek God? Well, people think they are seeking God. Pero ang totoo po niyan, maaaring hindi nila alam ito. Ang fallen nature natin, one, will never seek God. But the fallen nature of man only seeks the benefits that they can get from God. Maaaring nasa point na may karamdaman, may kakulangan sa pinansyal, namomroblema sa buhay, o hindi alam ang lain. And from there, they start to seek this because they wanted to get the benefits from God but not God Himself. That's why, friends, it is very dangerous to be part of a church who tries to cater to those who are non-Christians and try to entertain them. The church is not called to entertain. We preach the gospel. If there are people who are not followers of Christ, they are investigating Christianity, we welcome them. We like to be with them. We love them. We want them to hear the gospel in hopes that God will turn their heart of stone to a heart of flesh, taking them out of darkness and putting them into His glorious light. That is the hopes. But our primary purpose in church gathering is for God's people. To worship God and to edify one another. And as we faithfully try to present the gospel, we hope that they will come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. People seek the benefits from God, not God Himself. Pero hindi po natin pwedeng sabihin na we are the one who is seeking God. Hindi po yan naka-align sa Bible. Hindi po nagtatago ang Diyos. Hindi po siya nawawala. Hindi rin po siya nagkasala. Tayo po ang nagkasala. Tayo po ang tumatakbo papalayo sa Diyos. Tayo po ang nawawala. Dapat lang tayong hanapin ng Diyos. Tayo ay ligaw na tupa. So God sought Adam and called him. And how did Adam reply? Tingnan po natin sa verse 10. And he said, I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked and I hid myself. Verse 11, he said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat? God asked the question, hindi dahil hindi niya alam. God knows everything. He asked that question to provide instructions para sa man at saka sa woman. Ang larawan ng Diyos walking to them sa garden ay isang Hebrew idiom that pictures someone who walks in fellowship with God. maraming beses po yung ginamit sa Bible, where a man who is walking with God means he has sweet fellowship with God, that he is walking in obedience with God, which means he has a relationship with God. It means that he is a friend of God. Yun po ang ibig sabihin po nun. Dati kapag naririnig ni Adam at ng kanyang asawa ang presensya ng Diyos Ama, agad-agad niyang sinasalubong ito na may kagalakan. Agad-agad ito sinasalubong na may tuwa and excitement. Ngunit ngayon, nangingibabaw pag naririnig po niya ang presensya ng Diyos, nangingibabaw ang kanyang takot. Kaya siya nagtatago. They no longer delight on God's presence, but they dread it. Ang inaabang-abangan na kwentuhan nila sa Panginoon ay yung very presence ng Panginoon ay iniiwas-iwasan. You see how sin can turn our hearts. It's also true sa ating mga Kristiyano, hindi po ba? Now when we give in to sin, it does not affect, if you're a true Christian, it does not affect yung standing before God, but it does affect yung heart ng fellowship mo sa Panginoon. Nagkakaroon po ng panlalamig. And you feel you don't, here's the thing, if our hearts grow cold sa Panginoon, the first thing that we do is to kick God out of the picture. No more praying, no more Bible reading, nah, no church, that needs to go. Kasi may panlalamig. At kung may panlalamig tayo sa Panginoon, sa kanyang salita, sa panalangin at sa kanyang mga anak, then mainit tayo sa ibang bagay. Saan tayo mainit ngayon, mga kaibigan? Adam, confronted, cornered, ngayon umamin. Ano sinabi niya nung tinanong siya ng Diyos? Maybe this would be a perfect opportunity to confess. Yeah. Huli na. Huling-huli na. Verse 12. The man said, "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me the fruit of the tree and I ate." Napansin niyo ba kung sino ang sinisi ni Adan dito? Sinisi niya yung babae, yung asawa niya. Ang babae na kung saan tinrato niyang isang perpektong regalo na nagmumula sa Diyos na sinabi niya sa Genesis chapter 2, "Wow, bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh." The very first poem was written by Adam para sa kanyang asawa, or was recited by Adam para sa kanyang asawa. And all of a sudden, dahil nagkaroon ng maling puso, nagkaroon na rin ng maling pananaw. At ganoon na ang pagtrato niya sa asawa niya. Parang ganun-ganun na lang. Sinisisi niya ang babae. Ang babae na kung saan kanyang iniirog. Ngayon, meron na ho siyang ibang pananaw sa babaeng ito. Men, here's the danger. Husbands, this is the danger of passivity in marriage. We have a tendency to abandon our wives sa ating pananahimik. We have a tendency to abandon our wives sa ating pananahimik. Pananahimik in leading spiritually. Pananahimik in correcting and rebuking them with love, with God's word. Pananahimik sa mga importanteng desisyon na madalas natin sabihin, "Ikaw na yan, kaya mo na yan, malaki ka na. Ikaw magaling dyan eh." Pananahimik. At ito pong masakit po dito. When things go wrong, aawayin natin sila. Tataasan natin ang boses. At sisisihin natin sila. May not be verbally, but through our actions or through our continued passivity or silence. The silent treatment. Hindi po ba? Brothers, this is wrong. This is evil. We should stop blaming our wives sa ating kasalanan. Pero pansin nyo ba, si Adam ang hinanap ng Diyos, hindi ang asawa niya. Kasi we are directly accountable sa kanila sa Panginoon. How are you leading your wife? I know we have devoted a lot of that material last week, but it's something to chew on kasi the passage presents itself sa area ng application na ito. Pero tignan po muna natin ulit sa verse 12. Pansinin po natin ang tunay na sinisisi niya. Meron siya talagang sinisisi dito eh. Ang tunay na sinisisi niya dito ay yung Diyos. Yung babaeng binigay mo sa akin, siyang may kasalanan. If you see the language here, the woman whom you gave to be with me, the woman you gave, if I may put a little bit sarcasm there, the woman you gave, if you have not given that woman, I mean, I'm great. Sarap na sana ng buhay ko. Medyo malungkot, pero at least nakakatuloy yung papangalan ko ng mga animals in this perfect paradise. Yun po nangyari ito. He was blaming God. At yun din ang ginagawa ng babae. Since nakita niya kay Adam, the blame game, hindi ko rin kasalanan to nung tinanong ng Panginoon sa verse 13. The serpent deceived me and I ate. Do you see the blame game dito? It's an unending blame game. Hindi po ba natotoo din ang sa atin ito kapag tayo ay nagkakasala? First of all, we try to hide our sins. At kapag gumamit ang Panginoon ng tao o sirkumstansya sa ating buhay upang ilantad ang ating kasalanan, what do? We try to justify ourselves. And we say, hindi ko kasalanan yan kung bakit ako nagkaganito. We blame our spouses. We blame our kids. We blame our parents. We blame our companies. We blame our limitations and weaknesses. We blame our experiences. Kung hindi lang nangyari sa akin itong bata, okay sana ako. Kung hindi lang ganyan ang aking mga magulang pagpapalaki, hindi sana ako ganito karibelde. We blame. We even blame God. It's never our fault, hindi ba? It's never our doing. Wala tayong kinalaman. Wala tayong kasalanan. I know it sounds foolish because it is. And that's us. And we love to blame others kasi tayo malinis. And if that is us, and I know it is, all of us, then we are in danger. Kung ipapatuloy po natin ito. Friends, how do you respond when someone confronts you of your sins? Are you quick to admit or are you quick to point fingers? Friends, kapag nakikitaan mo ng kasalanan ng mahal mo sa buhay, do you love them so much that you confront them? If you really love a person and you see their sins, and if you say you love them and you love Jesus, then you should love them that much that you need to call out their sins. Call out with love. Call out with sensitivity. May pagkakataon umamin, magsisi, at humingi ng kapatawaran si Adam sa Panginoon at ang kanyang asawa, pero hindi nila ginawa. Hindi nila ginawa. So, paano ang response ng Panginoon sa kanila? Ano ang consequences? Dahil sa kanilang karebeldian, which we go to our second point. Consequences. So, verses 14 to 19, nakikita po natin ang consequences na pinataw sa lalaki, sa babae at sa ahas. Diba, inuna dyan is yung lalaki and then yung babae, yung ahas. Yung ginawa ng Panginoon, inumpisa niya sa uli, yung ahas, yung babae, tapos huli yung lalaki. Okay? Serpent. Unahin natin si serpent. Makita niyo sa verse 14 hanggang 15. Pagkatapos tanungin ni Yahweh ang babae, agaran niyang sinisi yung ahas. Okay? Sinisi ka agad ng babae yung ahas. At kung mapapansin niyo sa verse 14, hindi na nagtanong ang Panginoon. Adam, ba't mo ginawa? Kasi si wife eh. Wife, ba't mo ginawa yun? Eh, kasi siya, si ikaw! Ganun kagad, no? Wala nang tanong-tanong. Ba't mo ginawa yun, Sir P? Ikaw naman talaga. Oh, mali yun. Hindi, diretso. No? Hindi na nagtanong ang Diyos. He immediately judged and cursed the serpent because God knows who is behind the serpent. He cursed them in two ways. One, humiliation. Humiliation, yung word, yung language na to eat dust, sa Hebrew language means to humiliate o pahiyain. Ang mga kaaway po ng Diyos sa Bible are described to eat dust. Second is defeat. That's the second curse or judgment, defeat. Sabi sa verse 15, I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. God here was forecasting a struggle between the woman and the serpent and the seed ng serpent at saka yung seed ng wife. Mamaya po towards the end, I will unpack this for us. But let's jump right ahead sa woman. Ano yung curse na binigay sa babae? Verse 16. Makita po natin that the woman was also judged in two ways. Unang-una, children, and second, marriage. Yun ang dalawang curse na binigay sa kanya. Bakit sa children? Why? Kasi mas makakaranas po siya ng sakit at paghihirap sa pagbubuntis at panganganak. This is so painful that even some lose their lives. And any mother who had carried a baby sa kanilang womb would understand this. Something that husbands will never understand. But every time there's pain and there's suffering, points us to Genesis chapter 3. That was never supposedly like this. The very command that binigay, be fruitful and multiply, now yung pinaka means of bearing fruit is bearing so much pain. Marriage. Magkakaroon siya ng conflict sa kanyang husband. Sa paano para na magkakaroon siya ng conflict sa kanyang asawa? Her desire, ang kanyang pagnanais. Here's it. Here it comes. Is to dominate yung kanyang asawa. Gugusto niya na mag-take control sa kanyang asawa. That's the curse. Her desire is to dominate her husband, to take control, to take leadership. She will become more impatient at mabilis ma-frustrate sa kanyang asawa and will want to take control. Mahina kasi ako na nga. Ilang beses ko na siya, ako na nga. Huwag ka na kumilos, ako na. Hindi mo naman alam yan, kaya ako na kikilos, ako na lagi lahat. And then from the end of the day, they would say, ako na lang lagi. Trying to take leadership. Ngunit, binigay ng Diyos ang leadership authority hindi sa kanya, kung hindi sa asawa niya, sa lalaki. Have you ever noticed, ito yung pinakakasalanan na ginawa niya when she was being tempted, the reversal of roles. You did that, then that's your curse. And this time, because fallen ang mga husbands, there will be passive husbands. There will be manipulative, abusive husbands. Dalawa lang naman extreme yan eh. Praise God for Christian husbands who walks in faith. But even Christian husbands needs to walk in faithfulness in being in Ephesians chapter 5 husband. Pero ito po yun. She will become more and more desiring yung position ng kanyang asawa. She will try to lead him, but she will be frustrated. Wives, let me remind us. Don't put your hopes on your husbands. You will be frustrated. They will fail you. You put your hopes in God. Yun ang dapat ginawa ng babae nung siya'y natetempt. Hindi ba? She should have hoped in God and not on the promises of a stranger. Man, what is the curse of man? Verse 17 hanggang 19. Makikita naman natin, ang curse na binigay na ito is related sa work. Related sa trabaho. Work is cursed. I think his punishment fits the crime. Now, bakit po kamo? Una, sinabi sa kanya na huwag kainin ang fruit ng tree of knowledge and good and evil. Kinain niya. 5 times sa passage na ito, binanggit ang eat, 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 eat. But he still ate. Okay? And dahil dyan, sige, dahil dyan, I will connect that sa curse mo. Hindi ka na basta-basta pipitas na lang ngayon ang kakainin mo. You will labor hard. Work will be difficult. Causing the ground to be barren. Magbubungkal ka ngayon ng lupa. Magtatanim ka ngayon. Mag-aabang ka ngayon hanggat tumubo yan. At hindi pa natatapos yan. Buti sana kung babagyo yun, pepestehin ko pa yan. You will wait. It will not be easy. That is yung curse kay Adam. But he still needs to work. Kung hindi sila kakain ng pamilya, hindi po ba? The ground is cursed. So friends, ito po ang dahilan kung bakit mahirap ang trabaho. It's because it's cursed. Punong-puno ng hirap, pahihinakit, kawalang hustisya. Yan po ang description ng trabaho sa panahon natin ngayon. God commanded man to subdue. Okay? The land. Now the land will subdue him. Verse 19. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return. He should be the one subduing the earth. Nature. But right now, okay, you want that? Let's switch the roles. Ang lupa ang kakain sa'yo. It will subdue you. The land was cursed. That's why my typhoons. Bakit madalas tayo nakakaranas ng baha sa Pilipinas? Bakit ganun na lang ang earthquakes, lalong-lalo sa ibang bansa? Volcanic eruptions, diseases, pandemics, death. Kaya ang creation mismo ay dumadaing sa kahirapan as a consequence of sin. What is that supposed to be? Well, Romans 8:22. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. Even nature itself is waiting for the coming Messiah to end all suffering. Mga kaibigan, wag na po tayong magulat na ang ating work, ng ating pamilya, ng ating marriages, ang paboritong areas na atakihin ng kaaway. Okay? We are cursed and we are attacked. These are the areas na madalas atakihin ng kaaway. We are now tempted to make our work God. And so it enslaves us. Or we find ourselves discontented sa ating trabaho at kaya tayo lagi nagre-reklamo. We jump from one job after another trying to find that perfect job in Dubai. Ito po ang dahilan kung bakit patuloy ang mga anak break their parents' hearts. Or the parents break the hearts of their children. Kung bakit may infidelity sa marriages, kaya marami sa ating galing sa mga broken family or broken homes. It's because of this. It's fallen and it's being attacked. It is not a surprise that Satan focuses in precisely these areas to undermine God's people, their family, their marriage, their work. These are the consequences of the fall. Hindi po lahat na sinabi ng serpent ay mali. He uses kaunting katotohanan and twists it in order to sway, persuade yung kanyang mga biktima. Yun naman ang ginagawa niya hanggang ngayon. Sinabi niya sa Genesis chapter 3, verse 4, na kapag kinain mo ang pinagbabawal na prutas, you will not die. Pastor, bakit nga ba hindi siya namatay? May hindi yung mga tanong ninyo. Diba, sinabi ni God, kailangan kainin nung kinain ni Eve. Actually, nakaubos pa nga na isa. Inalok yung isa kay Adam. Kay Adam, kinain din. Bakit hindi sila namatay? Well, namatay sila physically, hindi lang immediately, pero eventually. Okay? Inabot lang ng ilang daang taon, according sa Genesis 5:5, namatay si Adam 930 years old. They still died. That's the effect of the fall. The effect of the fall is decaying. Death entered the world through decaying. But something did die immediately. At yun po yung spiritual death. They died spiritually. It was the second death and the death that will last towards eternity. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 1. And you are dead in the trespasses and sins. All types of unredeemed sinners are cast out sa itong tinatawag na second death. Revelation chapter 21 verse 8. But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. Ang first death, mabilis. It's like a door that you enter towards two eternities. The question is, which eternity you will be enter? Because once you enter death's door, you enter eternity. If you do not have that relationship with Jesus Christ, then that's an eternity of the second death. The consequences of man's sin not only affected creation, but it also affected us. Romans 5:12, therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all have sinned. So in short, the curse of Adam is our curse now. Anong solution? What is the cure? Adam tried and he failed. People throughout centuries tried. They failed by their own merits. So what is the cure? Which is yung number three and last. What is the cure? Ang solusyon po, mga kaibigan, ay matatagpuan sa sumpa ng Diyos sa ahas. So hindi lahat ng sumpa rito ay pangit. May mga sumpa dito sa Genesis chapter 3 na makakabuti po sa atin. Okay? Now in verse 20, Adam for the first time called his wife Eve. That's why for the previous Thursdays, I'm not calling the wife as Eve, kundi babae o wife, because this is the only time na tinawag siyang Eve. Okay? Mukhang clearly, and you know, ang ibig sabihin po ng Eve is mother of all living. Ina ng lahat ng nabubuhay. Mukhang clearly na dinig at naunawa ni Adam yung sumpa na binitawan ng Diyos sa serpent and the promised seed that will redeem them. Nairinig ni Adam at naunawaan ni Adam. There will be a promised seed. Verse 15, I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and her offspring. Naglagay ang Diyos ng hidwaan sa ahas at babae, sa kanyang mga offsprings or anak at anak ni Satan. Ang mga nakikinig at sumusunod kay Satan ay offsprings o mga anak ni Satan. At mga nagtitiwala o sumusunod kay Yahweh ay mga anak ng babae. Si Cain, bagamat physically siya ay anak ni Eve, lumalabas po na anak ni Satan. Why? Because he is following after the ways of Satan. Ganon din naman kay Abel, bagamat physically na anak na si Abel, but since Abel follows the Lord and fears, siya ay anak ng babae. Again, verse 15, you shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. God is saying, magpapadala ako ng Redeemer sa mundong ito na galing sa anak or seed o sa lahi ng babae. And he will finally defeat Satan and will set God's people free from the curse of sin. You see, friends, since Adam sinned, all of us became sinners. The curse of sin is on us. That makes us the seed of Satan. We are all rebellious. When we sin, we don't run to God. We hide from God. We listen to our inner voice, a voice na panglaman, galing sa ating laman. We are spiritually dead, unable to respond to God. But friends, there is hope, for God is merciful. God sends His Son, Jesus, the skull-crushing Redeemer. He was tempted in every way. The first Adam struggled with a command about the tree. But he gave in to sin and led us to slavery. But the second Adam also struggled with another tree. But the difference is, he carried that tree, was nailed on that tree, he hanged on that tree to set us free from our sins. The first Adam's actions cursed us. The second Adam's actions became a curse for us. When the first Adam sinned, he put the blame on others. The second Adam was sinless, yet he took our sins and blame for us. In verse 7, the first Adam tried to cover his sins with fig leaves. But God requires blood. In verse 20, he used an animal skin to provide covering to them. What is it saying? God provided the first sacrifice. He sent the ultimate sacrifice, Jesus Christ. And by his blood, we are cleansed from our sins. That's the Jesus who died, was buried, and the third day has risen from the grave. Friends, repent. Repent from our sins and trust Jesus Christ's work on the cross. Friends, just as Adam believed in the promised seed, we must repent also and believe on the seed who came to Jesus Christ for salvation. In verses 22 to 24, man was terminated and banished from the garden of delight, lest they eat the tree of life. Let me end with this quote. American Presbyterian scholar named Ligon Duncan comments on this last part, and I read, "In this passage, God is removing Adam from his nearness to the tree of life, lest Adam confirm himself to be permanent condemnation and destruction. You remember the words of Paul in 1 Corinthians 11:27 to 31 when he says, you don't eat unworthily of the wine and of the bread, lest you eat and drink condemnation to yourself. God is removing Adam from the proximity to that tree of life, which represents union and communion with the Lord. Lest Adam unworthily take of that tree and eat and drink condemnation to himself. God in his grace is removing Adam from the possibility of sealing himself to perdition, sealing himself to permanent condemnation by God. It was God's mercy and grace that he dismissed them from the garden. Ang communion ay pangalawa sa dalawang ordinansa na ibinigay sa atin ng Panginoon. It is an ongoing celebration of the unity that we enjoy together in Christ through His death and resurrection. Sa communion, ang tinapay ay larawan ng katawan ni Jesus that was laid on down as a sacrifice. At yung saro naman po represents the blood that came from Him. We have the privilege ngayong gabi nito to celebrate a wonderful meal together. The Bible gives us an instructions and a warning kung sino ang pwedeng magpartake ng communion na ito. Sabi sa 1 Corinto 11:27, kaya ang sino mang kumakain ng tinapay at umiinom ng kopa ng Panginoon sa parang hindi nararapat ay nagkakasala sa katawan at dugo ng Panginoon. Kaya dapat siyasatin ng taong kanyang sarili bago siya kumain ng tinapay at uminom sa kopa. Sapagkat ang sino mang kumain at uminom nang hindi kinikilala ang kahalagahan ng katawan ng Panginoon ay kumakain at umiinom ng kahatulan laban sa kanyang sarili. Friends, if you have repented from your sins and trusted Jesus Christ, believe the very gospel that you heard now, then you may take part sa communion na ito. If not, we encourage you to let the cup and the bread pass. If you profess to have faith in Jesus Christ, pero tayo po ay namumuhay sa kasalanan, then we encourage you to let the cup and the bread pass as well. Now, before I take part, let me pray for us right now. Father, thank you for the time that we have learned about your word. Pray that this cup be nourishing for our souls tonight. Would the cross of Christ be the wisdom of God and the power of the Almighty? It is in the name of Christ we pray. Amen.